Shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by call.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, and not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapin from the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about what's really going on in the world financially. But ladies and gentlemen, if you look and see what's happening, the price of oil is going up. And we're seeing today, I think, a replay of what we saw a year ago. In fact, it was just about this time last year, actually a little earlier than that, that when Lindsay Williams got a call from somebody high up in the oil company who said, you know, we're going to drop the price of oil to $50 a barrel and they were going to collapse the economy. And that's exactly what happened. Well, they're rising the price again, and of course this is going to have a devastating impact on the economy, and most people really don't seem to be at all aware of what's really going on in the world today. And with that as a background, let's go to our special guest for this afternoon, Bob Chapin of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are we doing?
We're pretty good. Nice to be back again.
Well, it's nice to have you with us. Well, give us your impression. You know, I think that this rise in the price of oil is going to have an impact on the airline industry, in the trucking industry, certainly in the medical industry, because so many of those are based in petrochemicals, certainly the agricultural industry as far as fertilizer, as far as, you know, the oil, diesel oil for the tractors. I think that this is going to really be another double whammy on the American economy, and maybe those green shoots are all going to wither and die. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know thought that they spouted in the first place. And I just think it's a lot of propaganda and wishful thinking. And, you know, to get the public in a spending mood and everything's going to be okay. And that's not going to be the way it is. And, yes, you know, $70 oil is going to increase cost tremendously. I mean, we've just seen gasoline go from what? $1.80 a gallon to $3, $3.20, depending
right.
upon where you live. And I would think it's probably going to go higher.
I really think it is, too, and I think this is going to have a devastating effect on the economy, which is already struggling, and so the banks are not lending money, which, of course, is preventing new businesses from coming, and they keep telling us, isn't it wonderful we're not losing as many jobs? My goodness, we're up to 9.4 unemployment that they'll percent unemployment they'll admit to. It's going to get a lot worse, and certainly we've almost lost 1.8 million homes have been foreclosed on so far this year, and they're trying to tell us that things are getting better.
No, they're not getting better. And for the next, between now and the election, this is the congressional elections a year from November, which is about a year and a half away, I think this year will continue to go down in economically, we'll continue to get a bit better economically, and then next year will be a bit better than that. What am I talking about? The fourth quarter, minus 6.4% GDP. First quarter, minus 5.7%. Second quarter, my estimate, probably something around 4.75% to 5%. For the last two quarters of the year, probably 4%. Next year, if we're lucky, we'll get to even. In other words, no growth no loss, no gain. And
hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapin right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today, of course, is Bob Chapin from the International Forecaster. We're talking about what's going on financially, and certainly nobody's pointing out that the rising price of gasoline is going to, of course, create real problems for the airline industry. They're already acknowledging a $9 billion deficit for the industry this so far this year. And now with the rising price of jet fuel, why this is going to be have even more of an impact. This is going to impact on trucking, as it did last year at this time. This is going to impact on the cost of food, because, of course, food is totally dependent upon diesel that's used in the tractors and of course, the petrochemical fertilizer that is so often used, you know, on our farms today. And certainly many of our drugs, paints, all of these things are tied to petrochemicals, and the price of oil is going up. Now, it's all being manipulated. I mean, there is no shortage of oil. There are tankers all over the world laden with oil just sitting there. They can't dump it. They don't know what to do with it. But the American people have to think it has to do with supply and demand. It really doesn't. It's all being manipulated by the people behind the scenes for greed and profit, but also part of the means of their plan program of destroying our economy and perpetuating the recession, depression, which is going to go on for such a long time. Our guest, Bob Chapin, international forecaster. You pick up the story, Bob.
Well, it's just the wrong thing at the wrong time. How much manipulation there is, we don't know. We suspect it. I would think that the oil producers, and particularly the refiners, want to take advantage of the increase in use of petroleum products during the summer. And we usually get this sort of thing, higher prices. I saw a report today up 16 cents at 276 or 266.
Oh, we're over $3 here on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's been there for, what, a couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, it's gone over there, but it's a little over that right now.
Yeah, I think it'll get a little higher, but that probably should be it. Maybe 320, maybe 330. I'm just guessing, you know, short of anything nasty happening in the Middle East or something like that, and or a war that extends into other areas as well.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman. Bob's saying that he doesn't think there'll be any let up at all as far as the war in the Middle East, why the price would sort of go right out of bounds. And of course, this phony election they had over in Iran, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, since Mandela came to Iran, were a lot smarter than the people in America. They are demonstrating, they're saying this election was rigged, and certainly it was rigged. Everybody who's looked at it knows it was rigged, except, of course, American officials who keep saying legitimate election, just like they said about Nelson Mandela in the most recent election in South Africa. They can't let the Americans.
That's true. Of them are appalling. And by the CIA and the Mossad, or perhaps the election was rigged deliberately to just have chaos. There's so many ways you can go with that. I was asked to go on. When they say to us, the U.S. government, that the elections were rigged over there. The other 64% or 45% of whatever it was, that the incumbent we just don't know.
Was it like the elections in 2004 in Ohio, where, of course, the exit polls all across the country were agreed with the final result, except in Ohio, where John Kerry won overwhelmingly in the exit polls, and of course, George Bush got the electoral vote there in Ohio, and in one precinct we know of, there were 800 people registered and 1,200 votes for George Bush. How could that be? In fact, most people don't know that several Republican officials went to... Everybody in Ohio knows that, but that's been blacked out in America, and of course they never did recount the votes, but they pointed out the Republican officials, when they were supposed to recount the votes, didn't do it according to law, and they rigged the elections. And so basically they do that here in America just as they do it throughout the world, but it's all a matter of perception. As long as we can convince the American people we're a democracy and the people are voting for, what they want and majority rule, they've forgotten we're a republic. And we have a rule of law, not simply of men, and when the public can vote anybody in they want to. And then, of course, we get Obama in, who promises to cut taxes, and then, of course, he comes up with all sorts of means to increase our taxes. For instance, the cap and trade program for energy is going to massively increase the cost of electricity. Green energy is going to triple the cost of electricity. But they can't tell the American people that that's been the plan all along, was to steal our money through, maybe not a direct tax, but all sorts of indirect taxes, and run up the cost of fuel and running up the cost of electricity. And the American people keep shaking their heads and say, gee, I thought we were going to have change. And there we are. But it's not going to be a change for the better, that's for sure. But you go right ahead, Bob. Tell us what's happening as far as the markets are concerned, because certainly the gold market is dropping, the silver market is dropping, and yet we know that John Paulson, one of the major hedge fund people, is actually laying and buying massive amounts of gold and silver, and there isn't that much gold and silver out there. How can he be taking all that gold and silver out of the market, and the price is dropping? It should be going through the roof.
Well, it's probably because they're using the ETF, which is GLD, the exchange-traded fund, and there's no doubt in my mind that they are not taking delivery. They're gambling in the futures market, and they're not supposed to be doing that, and that's what they're doing. Now, in the contract with SLD, which is the ETF for silver, it says in there they can use futures contracts. But they cannot do that with gold. And that's where these parties are buying, like $400 million for Northwest Mutual Life and however much Paulson purchased.
He was talking about a couple of billion dollars worth.
Yeah, and it's impossible. It's impossible. And then Germany can't get their gold back.
I think you should mention that gold, actually. Germany had gold deposited, where was it, Fort Knox or someplace, and they won't give them back their gold?
Well, they had it at two places, as far as I know, at the Federal Reserve in New York and then at West Point on the Hudson in upstate New York.
Okay.
And but it doesn't matter where it was. Or is.
In other words, they won't give it back to them. That's the important thing.
Well, I think that's the bottom line, and I think that's what caused the vitriolic attack last week on the monetization that the U.S. and Great Britain are doing, and they want that kind of monetization to go on in Europe. And the Germans are saying, well, we don't want to do that. And the reason I think that they went against what's going on in Washington is they want their gold.
Yeah, the Germans
and
want their gold back, and we're not going to give it
around,
to them. Right.
The U.S. turned around and said, oh, really? Well, we should put your banks to the stress test, which the U.S. parties know that the banks can't make a stress test because they're all broke in Germany.
But that has nothing to do with the fact that we were holding the Germans' gold. I mean, what
no,
they're doing is changing
part of
the subject.
The political game that's going
right.
on. And there is a conflict there. And the U.S., I don't think they can deliver. And then we have the case of Dubai, who requested their gold 2 months ago. They can't get it from London. And then we have this mysterious theft of gold bullion from the vaults in Canada. Now, they say it was stolen.
How could you steal
gold?
How could you steal gold from the vaults in Canada?
Just incredible lies. What they did is they lent it to the U.S. so they could suppress the market. That's what they did. And we'll find that out a year and a half from now. I mean, you got to know what you're dealing with and where they're headed and how they want to get there. And that's what they're doing. And so we're having another interlude, which has been caused by the short positions on the COMEX, by the commercials. And those commercials, who really aren't commercials, they're a bunch of banks. We should say gangsters, or better known as banksters. They have this second largest gold short position ever. And they've been driving gold down. And where they're going to cover, which means they got to buy it back again, I don't know, but I don't think it's far away.
Well, of course, the thing is that if people have gold deposited with the United States, and then if word gets around that we won't give the gold back again, every country in the world is going to lose confidence in the United States.
Well, and well, they should. They played a high-stakes game in real estate, securitization, the selling of all that toxic garbage. They get caught. They were using 30 to 50% leverage, and under the fractional banking system, they should have been using 8 to 10%, 8 to 10 times. They're just crooks. They're criminals. They're common thieves.
And I think it's important for people to understand the fractional banking system. That means you have a dollar on deposit. You can lend out maybe $8 based upon that, so you keep a fraction on reserve. But what happens when you lend out $20 to everyone you have? What happens when you lend out $50 to everyone that you have? And then, of course, a lot of your assets and a lot of your loans go bad on you. You're in real trouble, and this is exactly what's happening. Our banks, probably all of them, would have been insolvent if they'd used the real value of the assets they have. So they said, well, you don't have to use the real assets, the mark to market. You can use the mark to model, which is what you wish they were. And so that way they could say, look, all of our banks are solvent. But they're really not, because the same thing is true with banks throughout the world. The whole world banking system is insolvent. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Absolutely, and there's no doubt. And it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse.
And
there's
no
way out for these people.
But they can't let the American people know that, because this would mean that these big banks should be allowed to fail so that they don't bankrupt America. They've got something like $700 trillion of derivatives and at least $300 or $400 trillions of that the American taxpayers are on the hook for. And the only way to do that is simply to destroy the value of our currency and to pay back the derivative contracts with useless money. But that ends up impoverishing our people and destroying our nation. And that's just what they're up to. Well, Bob, you go right ahead. Certainly, they've knocked down the price of gold and silver very effectively, haven't they?
Right. And the U.S. government's in there trying to hold up. You know, they don't have the power. When they did this about a year and a half ago, what happened was, I think they took gold, I think it was around 750, 60. And the shorts did the same thing. And then all of a sudden, it bottomed out, and gold took off and went to 1,035. And I think the same thing is going to happen this time. And we have, the market is technically and fundamentally far stronger than it was when that happened. And it's going to take a run right through 1,000 this time. And so I think that's what we're headed for. I don't want to go into all the details. Most of the listeners have heard them before. But that's where we're going. And the Dow's going to go back down and test 6,600. How long it'll take, I don't know. But we've begun. The market is topping out. Bear market rally just like in 1931, which is rather ominous. And we'll go back and test 6,600, and I don't think it'll hold.
All right, Sidney, but they've run the dollar back up again. This is the most amazing thing. It was 120, then it got down to 80, and then it got down to, about 70, and now it's back up to 80 again. So how are they manipulating the dollar up when all the other currencies certainly are, all the currencies are falling?
Well, I think what they're doing is they don't have enough money to affect the market more than a day or two. So they look for a little weakness in other currencies, major currencies particularly. And when they see it, they jump on it. And the countries that have these weakened currency, like the euro and the pound and even the Swiss franc, the U.S. government calls them up and says, you know, sell your currency into the market. We want to get it cheaper so that our dollar will go up. And they accommodate them. This is what's going on. But, you know, they only can spend so much each day. They need probably $1.5 trillion a day to make this thing work. And what can they do it for, a day or two? And then they got to cover their, you know, position. So it's not going to happen for a long time.
Well,
the VIX figures are very bad.
Well, certainly the Federal Reserve System has been monetizing other purchase of agency debt and regular debt. And for the listener out there, agency debt are, agencies in the American government. They're bonds that would be, say, related to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or other government agencies. And so, then, of course, the government goes in and simply buys those bonds, ordinarily to be sold to private investors. But the government buys those and simply creates the money out of nothing to do that, which is going to be massively inflationary down the line. The reason it isn't inflationary now is because so much of the wealth of the world has simply been destroyed.
Well, monetization is as bad as it gets. And we're talking about the agencies, the CDOs with the collateralized debt obligations and asset-backed securities, which are not worth the paper written on. And then we're talking about the Treasury.
Hold that. Well, I guess it's Bob Chapman, the investor, and we're talking certainly about what's happening as the Federal Reserve System begins monetizing a debt. And certainly we are buying agency debt, we're buying a Treasury debt. Since the Fed doesn't have any money, they simply create it out of nothing and add to the monetary supply and create an inflationary spiral that is eventually going to crush the dollar and with it then the future and hope of the American people. So pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, $2.2 trillion in monetization between 2 months ago and September the 30th, maybe the end of the year. We'll see. And then they're going to do it over again and over again and over again. I mean, in 2 years, this year and next year, we're looking at total monetization of $4 to $5 trillion. And then the other nations are doing the same thing. So the dollar's going to go down, but, you know, it'll take it a while to get down to 40 on the USDX. It's trading around 80 right now. And just having it go down to 71.18, which is as low, will be debilitating. But it's being caused by monetization. They're increasing the money supply at 18%. Inflation is really 9%. They tell us it's close to zero. I mean, the lies are fantastic. I mean, anybody that would believe this got to be out of stupid. You know, it's madness. And they keep on doing it, and they keep on getting away with it. But they won't forever. And, you know, this this administration is doing exactly the same as the last one, only they're much more socialistic than they are fascistic. And they've got this new medical program that they want. When the current one that we have is bankrupt, Medicare and Medicaid, and Social Security, and all those IOUs that are sitting around aren't worth anything. And so why don't they fix that before they try to fix the system? They want to include all the illegal aliens in the system.
I really think that they want to destroy the system. I believe there are people who hate America, and they know there's no better way to destroy this than destroy the value of our currency, to keep spending money they don't have. I mean, they're talking about, you know, certainly they want, of course, to have the socialized medical system. They want, of course, to have this new energy system. That is going to cost trillions of dollars. It's going to raise our electric bills phenomenally. And they want to correct the educational system. Well, we were supposed to do that under the No Child Left Behind program. And every time the federal government gets involved, things get worse. And instead of going to phonics and teaching our kids how to read, they use a system of reading which is known to fail. They use this new math. Isn't it interesting, of course, when you see who it is who's winning the spelling bees across America? It's either usually homeschooled kids or kids from India, but you very seldom see an American child who goes to a public education winning the spelling bees because they can't read, they can't write, they can't spell.
Well, you're correct, and you're absolutely right. This medical attack is really, really bad. You know, both sides of this are wrong. And that is the providers, the pharmaceutical companies, they're all crooks. And, you know, putting out drugs that don't work or drugs that kill people, maim them. And, you know, it's profit motivated. So whatever the market will bear. On the other hand, the socialistic, socialized medicine solution is every bit as bad. I mean, the first thing they do if they get that law passed is they're going to be euthanizing anybody who's going to have a long-term chronic problem. They'll say, we can't afford it. We're not going to give them the medicine. And they die.
And basically, it is whole plan is to ration access to health care so that elderly people will not be able to get health care. But they can't tell the American people the truth. They're simply lying about it. Oh, we are so compassionate. We want free medical care or medical care for everybody in the country so nobody goes without medical care. What they're really talking about is simply rationing access to health care, as Bob says. And you're not reading about this in the controlled media. And you're going to see genocidal policies enacted in America and restriction access to health care through Medicare. They have to because Medicare is out of money today. There is no reserve fund. They're putting out more money for Medicare since last year than they're taking in. So that's why there is an urgency to solving the problem. After all, we're having to borrow money for everything else. We can't do it for Medicare. There is no Medicare fund. They've lied to the American people. When are they going to wake up and understand? We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Matt calling from Minneapolis. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing just fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Over time, we've gathered information in the whereabouts of these ruthless individuals that are creating these problems that we see today. And I'm just wondering why nobody's eliminated and brought back the good old John Gotti days and started to whack these people.
Well, you want to answer that, Bob?
Well, I couldn't get it all. It kept on going in and out. What was the question?
What was basically the question, Matt?
The question is, we know the whereabouts of these people such as the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and that nobody's eliminated of them.
Well, that is not our job to go around eliminating people. That's really very irresponsible talk, Matt. Once you begin eliminating people, you have to get the public educated to understand what it's about, because if you eliminated the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers tomorrow, they'd be replaced by others. What we need, of course, is to get the people educated to understand freedom, to understand the danger of a central bank. But once you resort to lawlessness, you become just like this fellow who went into the Holocaust Museum and started killing innocent people. How many innocent people do you want to kill?
But the thing is, they're doing it to us.
Maybe they are, but they're
sick individuals.
But you have to understand, Matt, that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And if you honestly think that you're going to be able to defeat the spiritual forces that are at work with violence, I think you're sadly mistaken. Bob, I want your response to what Matt is saying.
Well, I agree with you, and the gentleman is right. They've caused the death of millions and millions of people. But we've got to work through the system until we can't anymore. And once we can't anymore, then we don't have any choice but to go after the people who've created this. But there's still hope for the system. If we can get Ron Paul's bill to investigate the Federal Reserve Pact, it'll be done away with. There will be no more Fed. And the reason why is when the people find out what they've been doing, they'll be very disturbed about it. And if we can get in legislation as well to put on tariffs, then that would at least force transnational corporations to come back and start hiring people and manufacturing in America instead of destroying the manufacturing business in particular.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And suddenly, if you'd like to give us a call, have a question for Bob Chapman, this is the time to do it. And then, of course, certainly we'd like to have Bob tell us how to get in touch with him. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you really want to understand what's going on, why you may very well want to subscribe to the Forecaster. I will tell you, I read the International Forecaster twice a week from cover to cover. Well, I may skip the end about health, because I know most of what he's talking about, although there's a lot of good advice there as well. But certainly, I know people all across the country who look forward to that International Forecaster coming twice a week. Bob, how can people subscribe to your publication?
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Usually runs 35 or 40 pages, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month to those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can email us at theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can also email us if you have a question or want to make that request. And that address is Bob, B-O-B, at INT, I-N-T, F-O-R-E, C-A-S-T-E-R. That's Bob at INTforecaster.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Okay, fine, but if you're out there in the audience, you have a question for Bob, 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, of course, the housing crisis is really what precipitated this whole collapse, and so far this year, it looks like we're pretty close to 1.8 million American families have lost their homes. Just this one year, probably 2.25 million last year, 1.8 million. Looks like we'll go to 3.5 million easily this year. Barack Obama has this wonderful plan that's going to rescue the homes, but it's not rescuing the homes. They made it intensely difficult. And last month, over 400,000 homes were foreclosed on, about 430,000, 440,000. Only 15% of the homes that were to be foreclosed upon were saved, and the other 420,000, 430,000 homes went into foreclosure. So they're doing a good job of convincing the American people they're trying to solve the problem. But why do they make it so complicated that most people can't qualify? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't think they really want to make the loans. They don't want the homes either. But, you know, they get themselves into this fix, and they're better off taking the homes in and foreclosing on them. And if it gets too difficult, what they'll do is they'll just bulldoze them. And that's what our president has been recommending, going into whole areas like Detroit and leveling maybe 300 or 400 or 500 homes at a time. You know, just turn it into a large parking lot, if you may. And that's the answer that they've come up with. I mean, people just do not understand how grave the damage is that we have, not only here, but Europe and worldwide. A lot of countries haven't got hit yet with it bad, but they will. I just know somebody who came back from Europe. They were over there for a couple of weeks, been there before. Said unemployment is just really terrible, and tourism is down spectacularly, and so on and so forth. And so the damage is bad. It's going to get a lot worse.
I think this is what's so important for people to understand, that you can't get a recovery until you start getting new jobs. And you're not going to get new jobs until people, investors are optimistic. Well, why would anybody want to invest when the federal income tax is going to be almost 40% and anybody's got any amount of money to invest, and then another 10% for the state income tax? Why would you want to invest when your taxes are going to be 50%, very well that they're going to do everything they can to raise the taxes on anybody who's productive, and then cut the taxes on the people who are non-productive? But most of them are going to be living certainly on unemployment insurance, because the number of people losing their jobs increases every month. You're not going to get a turnaround until you get new jobs. You're not going to get new jobs until people start investing and start borrowing money. And, of course, see, banks are not lending money to the people who want to start businesses, and very, very few people are foolish enough to want to start a business when the economy continues contracting. Well, okay, let's go to Rob, who's calling us from Spokane. Hi, Rob. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yeah, Bob. I'm looking at buying a universal life policy where you have a cash value that would have, it's pretty safe to have a floor and a cap, but if there's high inflation around the corner, am I going to get burned? Is it going to, you know, lose its value?
Yes, and it's already happened. There's a lot of policies, a lot of pension plans, too, that went down 50-55%. The markets improved. Now they're down 35 or 40%. And if I'm right, and we go back and test 6,600, then let's say that your universal life plan was worth, let's say, $160,000, and now it's worth $100,000, there's a good chance it could drop back to $50,000. So I'm telling people who have balances in those kind of policies, which are not guaranteed, because if a company is in business, you're not going to get paid. And most people also don't know that there are states that allow legislation to reduce the guarantee. So let's say that the guarantee is 5%. They can arbitrarily take it down to 1.5 or 2. And if the market's plunging at the same time, it's not a good investment anymore. And if the company goes under, then you really get a problem. You're not going to get paid.
And, of course, a lot of the insurance companies are having real problems because they were invested in hedge funds, and they were invested in commercial property, and they were invested in the stock market, and they've all gone down. And, boy, wait till the commercial market collapses. Then a lot of these insurance companies are really going to be hurting. Anything else, Rob?
No, that was it. I just wondered how safe insurance companies were if they guaranteed a minimum 4%. I mean, it's supposed to...
Rob, there is no guarantee. There isn't any. And the same thing is true with annuities. I had an insurance license for 25 years, so I do know something about insurance as well as the stock market. And I am recommending our subscribers to cash them in and take the money and put it in gold and silver-related assets.
You'll sleep a lot better that way, but you'll have something set aside for your family. But if we go into the inflationary spiral, I fear we're going to, you could lose literally almost all of the value of your insurance policy. Anything else, Rob?
No, you're pretty sure we're going to go into inflation and not deflation.
Down the line, yes, right. Right now, of course, the price is not going up because certainly, but now with the price of oil starting to go up, and that's going to set a tone for agriculture, transportation. It's going to set for airline travel. The airline companies are in real trouble, and we're going to see more of them beginning to shut down as well. So down the line, there's going to be hyperinflation before the whole thing collapses. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Anyway, thanks for calling. Remember, I'm not a financial advisor. We're just giving you what we think, okay?
Okay, great.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Tom calling from Chicago. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Real good. How are you fellas doing tonight?
Good.
Okay, do you have a question for Bob?
Sure do. I have a two-part question. One is, generally, for all of us old folks that have invested with Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab, at this point, and we want to see that our money is backed by gold and not by the dollar, what do you recommend as far as moving those funds to something that we could have the faith that we'd have with Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab with a gold backing?
Well, sometimes those entities offer gold funds, but usually the funds are not very good. And My feeling is that people should be in individual stocks, and for our subscribers, we recommend what they should buy, and they should be in coins as well. And there are ways you can do that, and the way you would find out about that is to email me and send me your phone number, and I'll call you, and I can see what you got and what it's all about. I'm 73, and so I'm kind of in the same boat that you are. And so I think I know what will work for you. And you've got to get those monies out of the regular stock market. Even bonds are going to get hit. You know, people don't remember that in 1981, the prime rate, as it was called in those days, went to 21.5%. Inflation officially was 13.5%. That was a true figure. Now, we're going to do worse this time. And so that means bonds are going down, not nearly as much as stocks. But stocks are going to go considerably lower. And if you're in those venues, you're going to lose money. If you're in a money market fund, goodness knows whether you're ever going to collect. And so that's why I think gold and silver-related investments are really the only way to go. The only alternative, I think, if you want to stay in cash, is to buy treasuries, but not U.S. treasuries, because the dollar is going to take a beating against other currencies. So if you must be in a currency, my advice at this time would be in Canadian treasuries for part of the money, but that's it. There's no place to go.
That's where they got you, Tom. There's no place to go.
How about the killing that we all took today in our gold and silver-related assets, Bob, I really got hurt today.
Yeah, but it's only one day.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
make any difference.
No.
I tell people, look, you don't look every day. If you do that, you'll eat yourself up. I mean, Agnico Eagle was maybe $42 a share today. It was $63 a week ago.
Just don't worry about it. Just
you know,
have
it's
to take your position.
It's the only place you can be.
And
you just ride it out. You just don't look. Because if you're in the stock market, you're going to lose 50% of your money.
It down, like you say, they're not able to hold it down more than 1 or 2 days.
Okay, I think it's okay. Thanks very much for calling, Tom. And let's go to David calling from Vermont. Hi, David. You have a question?
Hi, good evening. I'm kind of confused. I don't understand why anybody who had gold would trade gold for Federal Reserve notes. Something just doesn't make sense. I just don't understand that. Can you explain why anybody that was a gold trader would turn around and give up something so valuable for something worthless?
All right, that's a good question. Who are you thinking specifically would be doing that, though?
Well, I mean, all of the advisors are saying get into gold, trade your Federal Reserve, your excess Federal Reserve notes for gold.
Right.
I mean, I just don't understand what's the incentive on the gold, the person that holding the gold, what's the advantage, what's the incentive for him to take on, give away something that's, not give away, but trade something that's valuable for something that's going to be worthless.
All right, Bob, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I think what the gentleman is saying is that why would you sell gold to get Federal Reserve notes at this point in time, particularly people who are traders? And the simple right. answer to that is they don't know what you know. You know, less than 5% of the population has any idea what's going on. Less than 1% of the population isn't gold and silver-related assets. 48%, a little bit more than 48% of Americans, are functionally illiterate. I mean, what more would you expect? They don't know anything about anything. They might think they do, but they don't. And so that's why people do things like that. Traders are traders. It's a game. I was a trader for 25 years. I understand where they're coming from because they are not involved economically and financially. They're just trading to make a profit. They, you know, if next week the dollars look like they're going to go down, well, maybe they'll go buy gold and take delivery. It's whatever the game is.
It's all a game, but the one thing is if you play the game, by their rules, you're going to lose. And the way it is heads they win and tails we lose. Anyway, God bless and thanks so much. But I would hang on to your gold, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Monty, who's calling from Calgary. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Monty. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are things up in Calgary?
Rainy.
The Calgary is really the center of a lot of activity up there. A lot of, don't you have the oil? How far are the oil sands from you there?
They're about 8 hours from here. I worked up there for a bit.
All right, fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. My question is, I've heard a few different talk show hosts mention buying gold stocks and silver stocks and stuff like that. And my question is, what's the benefit in doing that? Saying that just assume that the stocks go up in price, say fivefold or whatever. What's the benefit in doing that? Because once you sell, aren't you trading back into dollars?
Yeah, and you take the dollars and you buy gold coins with them.
Yeah, but what if when you sell,
the stocks historically have gone up 5 times or more than coins have.
Then you want to kick yourself if that happens, Monty. Basically, it's a gamble. You're figuring that they're going to go up far more than the price of the price of gold, and it'll go up enough so that you'll make a profit and be able to pay your income tax. But anything we do today is uncertain. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Oh, yes.
So you diversify, you diversify, you diversify, because the people on the other side's a lot smarter than we are. All we can do is just try to survive. And you just want to certainly be in gold and silver and maybe even in platinum. You want to have it spread out over a long, many areas. Certainly if you want to be in gold and silver stocks, you just hope they're going to go up 30 or 40 times in value, but they may not. So it's all... If you diversify, you will not. You will at least maintain some wealth. Remember what Richard Russell said: "He who loses the least wins." He who loses the least wins, and that's what it's all about. We're at very uncertain times. Our guest Bob Chapman will be right back. Monty, do you have anything you wanted to ask in addition? Oh, I guess we lost Monty there. So, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Now, I'm going to talk about something that's not on this subject. I came off across some information which shows us that the Obama administration is no different fundamentally than what we just lost after 8 years, which were the neocons. Former NBA star Kevin Johnson is the mayor of Sacramento, California. And what he received an AmeriCorps grant of $800,000. The Inspector General, Gerald Wolpin, was looking around to find out what recipients had done with the money that they'd received earlier this year. And he found that out of $800,000, Mr. Johnson had spent about half of it on himself. And the bottom line is very little is being done to Mr. Johnson, and the IG, Gerald Wolpin, was summarily dismissed by our president who appointed or had him appointed. Now, under the Inspector General Reform Act of 2008, of which our president was a co-sponsor, the individual serves at the pleasure of the president. And Congress must be consulted with reasons for any IG firing being clearly defined in writing with a 30-day notice. And somebody from the White House called Mr. Wolpin up and said, "You're out of here." And the president, when asked, said, I no longer have the fullest confidence in him. When in fact Wolpin performed his duties exceedingly well.
And that's why they want to get rid of him, of course.
That's why they want to get rid of him. But this guy, this Johnson, should be in jail. And I got a piece from Senator Grassley today, who has demanded the records of the administration over the dismissal, and the General AmeriCorps. It seems that our president has broken the law.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Bob is just talking about the corruption. Apparently, the mayor of Sacramento had gotten an $800,000 grant from the government and used most of it for his own purposes. It was picked up by the special investigating attorney general at the federal level. And instead then of going after the mayor of Sacramento, they went after the attorney general, the inspector general. He was asked to resign. Let's go quickly to Travis from Ohio. Travis, we're out of time, but do you have a quick question for us? That's Travis calling from Ohio. Go ahead.
Better than, say, a Swiss treasury. I'm from Canton, Ohio. And I just kind of wondered about what Switzerland's economic situation is looking like.
Well, right to my face, Bob is now no longer recommending Switzerland. He's recommending Canadian bonds. Want to reply to Travis why you shifted from Swiss bonds to Canadian bonds?
Well, the Swiss government said that they were going to continue to try to cheapen their currency so they could remain competitive. They've never done that before. And secondly, they have been in the corporate bond market, in their own market, buying corporate bonds, monetizing them. And I don't think that's something that I want to get involved in if I'm going to have a currency. Otherwise, the country is doing relatively well, considering what the rest of Europe has done. But their decisions, I don't think, are good ones. And so with that in mind, in the higher yield that's available in Canada, I think that the appreciation prospects for the Canadian dollar versus the U.S. dollar are every bit as good, if not a little bit better, than the Swiss ones are presently. And, you know, I can change my mind again on that, too, depending upon what the Swiss do. And so that's an alternative only for people who have to have some money in the equivalent of cash.
I think, Travis, we're living in very uncertain times, and it's a matter of trying to survival and remembering that who loses the least wins. God bless. Thanks very much for calling, and we're out of time. And what will happen to corporations? Well, we have a question here, but I don't know what. What will happen to the corporations if everyone takes their money out of the stock market? What would happen if people started just getting out of the stock market?
Well, I think they eventually will, and it's going to cause lots and lots of companies to go bankrupt,
I
and
agree.
It can't be helped.
I know a lot. Most people are going to lose most of what they have who are in stocks, but as well as in bonds, because, of course, the laws governing bankruptcy no longer apply. They've been repealed by the Obama administration. Bob, we're out of time. We'll talk again this evening. God bless, and thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like to give us a call and like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If, of course, you'd like to really understand what's going on, we have a talk. It's called Financial Armageddon, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, which goes into the background of this whole financial scam. We have another talk we gave about 3 or 4 years ago called the Financial Tsunami with a Syllabus that will give you the background of course, exactly what was going to happen. It's all come to pass just exactly as we suggested. The next big bubble is going to be the prime mortgage bubble, and so many people losing their jobs are going to lose their homes because even with prime rate mortgages. And then, of course, we're going to have the derivative bubble, bubble after bubble, until eventually everything is destroyed financially. That's why our talk on the financial Armageddon is so important. At least you know what the plan is. And we tell you what they say about Obama. And, of course, we're talking about the people from the other side, what they were saying about President Obama before he ever became president, and the millions of people throughout the world who are praying that he would come into a position of power. It's all been ordained. It's all planned. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927.